are in a series called Heroes. In this series, we're studying the lives of regular people whom God called heroes of faith. As we look at the lives of men and women, we're learning from their strength and their weaknesses. How many of you got some strength in your life? How many of you got weaknesses? We don't want to show them off, but we do. Amen. We got weaknesses. We're learning in this series what's important to God. And a lot of times, what's important to human beings is not the same thing that's important to God. I've said this before. God is not impressed by your wealth. It's His anyway. God is not impressed how good you look today. Amen. God is not impressed about your intellect, how smart you are. God is not impressed how much money you make, how talented and gifted you are, because He has given you all those things. Amen, right? He's given you all those things. Now, you develop some of those things, but He gave you those strength in the first place. So what impresses God? What impresses God is faith. Bible says, for without faith, it is impossible to please God. We're in part 6 today on our Heroes of Faith series. And you came in a perfect time because I believe it's going to be one of the best sermons. And the hero today is unlikely hero. That's the one we're studying about today. But the point is this. God does not look for perfect people. He looks for people who will believe Him. Every single one of the heroes that we've studied so far, and if you haven't been here, you can listen to these messages online at newlifechurchsf.org. But every single one of them made many sins. Not before they met God, but while they walked with God. Abraham made some mistakes. Noah got drunk, got naked, cursed his son. Every single one of them made mistakes. They were not perfect people. So why does God call them heroes? Why did they please God? Because they believed God. Listen, maybe today you continue to fail. And I know the closer I get to God, the more I realize how imperfect I am. And Paul, the greatest apostle, cried out in his letters. He said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of sin and death?" God knows what kind of body you live in. Now, it doesn't mean that you don't try. It doesn't mean that you don't make an effort. You don't use your willpower to get closer to God and do what you can. But even when we do try, we fail. These men failed. Apostle Peter failed, denied Him 3 times. And Jesus, when He resurrected, He said this, "Go tell my disciples that I'm alive and tell Peter." Listen to me, if Judas, who betrayed Him, would have been alive, I believe Jesus would have said, listen to me, this is good. Go get Peter and Judas. See, God is a God of second chances. God loves to give us second chances. So it doesn't matter what you've been through. Doesn't matter how bad you've messed up. Doesn't matter how many times you've been in jail. Doesn't matter how many times you've been addicted to something. Or maybe you're religious and you've struggled with religion all your life. You're just judgmental, right? Drug addicts need to repent of that. Religious people need to repent of. We all got stuff to repent of. Amen. But what I'm trying to tell you and show you through these series on heroes is that God respects your faith, not how perfect you are. The devil comes and says, "Look at your weaknesses." Bible says he knows that we're just clay. He knows that we're just dust. What pleases Him is your faith. Today, will you believe God? Today, will you continue to believe God? Today, will you continue to trust Him no matter what you're going through? Maybe your finances are messed up today. You're in debt. Could you believe God that He can get you out? Maybe you're struggling with addiction. Could you believe God that He can change that and break you free from those addictions? Maybe you're struggling with mental issues. Do you believe that God can heal and restore? We serve a mighty God. We serve an awesome God. God is not dead. He is alive. I'm too hyped up, and it's too early in a message. Woo! Question is, who's your hero? Well, thank you for that. Give her a hand. Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. But honestly, who is your hero in life? Do you have a hero? Is it a music star? Is it a politician? How many of you know politicians will fail you? We elected the best one they said we got, and he still fails us, right? Everyone will fail you, not God. You can trust them. What I'm showing you throughout these series is that those who trust in God will never be put to shame. It doesn't mean that they don't deal with things. It doesn't mean that life is easy sliding. No more waves. Life is actually full of waves. But if Jesus is the captain of your boat, you're not going to sink. You're not going to sink. If you get a hole, he'll fix it in your boat. Amen. To me, a hero is someone who God uses to impact lives of people for eternity. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3, it says, those who are wise will shine as bright as the sky. So it's talking about stars, okay? And those who lead many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever. So to God, heroes are those who believe in him and then bring other people to believe in him. That's who God respects. See, God thinks eternity. We think our life right now. We think this year. We think today. We think if only I could be happy today. God doesn't think that way. God thinks eternity. God thinks Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Jesus, and God thinks through generations. God is looking for people of faith today who would live their lives in such a way that can impact eternity. God is looking for you. Everyone on the sound of my voice, God is looking for you to do something. And maybe it's not going to be something like David did. He killed a Goliath. Maybe it'll be something small. Maybe he'll throw a small stone and knock down a cockroach or something. I don't know. But still, you played a part in the big plan of God. Amen. Now, let's get back to our hero. Who is our hero today? Today's hero is Isaac. Let's read Hebrews 11, verses 17 through 20. It was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing him. Abraham, who had received God's promises, was ready to sacrifice his only son Isaac, even though God had told him, Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted. Abraham reasoned that if Isaac died, how would Isaac die? Abraham would kill him. If Isaac died, God was able to bring him back to life again. And in a sense, Abraham did receive his son back from the dead. It was by faith that Isaac promised blessings for the future of his sons, Jacob and Esau. Who was Isaac? Bible doesn't give us a lot on the life of Isaac, but it does give us some. And so here we go. Isaac is the sixth hero on the list of God's heroes of faith. He's number six. So if he had a jersey, it would be number six. LeBron. All right, number six. Isaac is the son of Abraham and Sarah. He's a miracle child. Remember, they couldn't have kids till Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90 years old. He was born about 2100 BC. He married at 40 years old. His wife was Rebekah. He had two sons, Esau and Jacob, and he lived 180 years. His name means he laughs or laughter or will laugh. That's what Isaac means. Isaac is a gentle hero. How many of you are gentle people in this place? How many of you are kind of rough and tough and A-type personality? You get into everything. You get into trouble all the time. You say before you think. How many of you are those type, like me? Loudmouth personality. Well, Isaac is the opposite of me, okay? Or some of you A-type people. Isaac is a gentle hero. Translation, he's a mama's boy. He was such a mama's boy, he didn't get married till his mom Sarah passed away. Did you know that? The original 40-year-old virgin. You watched that movie, didn't you? Heathens. Just kidding. Isaac thought, if you have mama, why would you need a wife? Did you know that Isaac lived with his mama in her tent till he was 40 years old? Do we have any mama's boys in here? How do you know your mama's boy? You call your mama a few times a day and you're over 30. When you eat somebody else's food, you have to comment, my mama's dish is way better. How do you know your mama boy number three? You live with your mom and you're 40. Number four, you put your mom before your significant other. How do you know your mama's boy? You can't make a decision with your wife till you call your mama, because mama knows best. How do you know your mama's boy? Number six, when you go on a date with a girl mama comes with and you're 40. Number seven, how do you know your mama's boy? You call your mama when you disagree with your wife so she can take your side. Ooh, some of you wives are pinching your husbands, elbowing them. Number eight, this is the last one, okay? How do you know your mama's boy? You act like a baby when your mama's around and you're 41. Based on everything that's written in the Bible about Isaac, I would say that he was a mama's boy. But the good news is, God uses mama's boys. God uses all kinds of people. He doesn't just use David type. One day David is high, I'm praising the Lord. The next day he's depressed, and life is bad, I'm going to die. You know, up and down, up and down. God uses stable people, gentle people, okay? Amen. Reminds me of one of our brothers here in church, one of the leaders, but I'm not going to name him. He's just gentleman, you know, just gentle all the time. I'm like, man, how do you do that? How do you do that, right? I'm like, are you going to blow one of these days? Are you going to explode? I mean, do you hold it in? Because I let it all out all the time, you know? And usually the gentle people will marry somebody like Rebecca, right? We're opposite for some reason attract. God pairs us up. I married a soft, gentle woman. poor wife, yeah. There's positives and negatives of every personality. Just want to let you know. So don't go say you should be like Isaac. I wasn't born to be like Isaac. Isaac, listen to me, is not the most exciting hero in the Bible. He didn't kill anybody. Abraham killed some people, right? In Noah's time, a lot of people died. Didn't let him on a boat. God closed the door. David was a oh man, David. God wouldn't let him build a temple because he killed so many people. He said, "You men of blood, David. Still hero of faith, but Isaac is way different. He lived a peaceful life. He was a gentle soul. He didn't fight with anybody. He didn't kill anybody. He never went to war. We know his father Abraham took an army of 316 or 17 servants of his, and they went and attacked four kings while they were drunk at night and defeated four armies and took Lot, his nephew, back because Lot was taken into captivity. So Abraham was a bad man, right? Jacob was really cool. Knever fought with God and almost defeated God till God used supernatural power to strike him down. Jacob stole the blessing. He's a fun character. Not Isaac. Isaac is kind of a gentle soul. But God, listen to me. God doesn't look at that. God is looking at your faith. Will you believe God? The biggest achievement, other than his two boys, is that he planted a field in a famine, and we're going to talk about it next week. And he dug wells that his enemy would fill him back up. He believed God. God blessed him. Everything he did prospered, so that his enemy was so jealous that they would fill up his wells in the famine time. Why would you do that? Why don't you ask him to take some water out instead of filling it in? So that's the life of Isaac. Isaac didn't marry till he was 40 years old. Only after his mama passed away. Abraham, his father, was beginning to worry. What's wrong with you, boy? Isaac never asked the girl out on a date. He's that type of a guy. You know what I mean? His dad had to send a servant into a distant country to go and find him a wife. And he did, Rebecca. And after he saw her, he married her and took her into his mama's tent. That's what the Bible says. Read Genesis 26. That's Isaac's life right there. Genesis 26. Pastor, how can you call this guy a hero? Doesn't sound like a hero to me. Me neither, guys. I wouldn't call him a hero, but God does. Maybe you wouldn't call him a hero, but God does, because God looks at different qualities than we do. We respect strength and power and glory. We respect beauty and money and riches. God doesn't look at that. God looks at what? Faith. today, if you get anything, if you just choose to believe God. See, fear says this, you will never make it. When you leave, you're going to get into an accident. Oh, you might get cancer. Fear speaks, but faith says, God is for me. My future is better tomorrow than it is today. Honestly, guys, I've lived in fear of thinking, oh, God has blessed me, but what if he's going to take it back? That's fear. That's from the devil. Thinking like that is from the devil. So how does faith think? The best is yet to come. Say it. The best is yet to come. That's how faith thinks. Today, I'm going to find a great job. That's how faith thinks. I'm going to go out and fill out applications. Today, I'm going to defeat this thing that's binding me, that addiction. I'm going to defeat it. I'm going to fight it tooth and nail. I'm going to scratch, but I'm going to win. That's what faith says. Fear says, no, you'll never do it again. That's it. Your life is over. Go ahead, write a will. Go ahead, write your will, and you're done. No, that's fear. That's the devil. God is a God of faith. God is a God of faith. So what is faith? It's this. Faith is confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. Ladies, you need to believe that God has a great man out there for me, Christian, godly man out there. Yes. You need to have that confidence and that hope that it will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. That's what faith is. It's assurance of the things that you can't see. What are you believing God for today? Have you stopped growing in faith? Well, God has given me everything. I don't need anything more. Well, you're not living in faith then. You've stopped growing, and that means you're going back, okay? If you stop walking on the treadmill, what happens? Come on. You go backwards and then what? Fall off. When you stop walking by faith, you go backwards and fall off. God wants you to have big dreams, and maybe you are satisfied, and maybe you are blessed, and maybe you don't need any more. But God says, I want to bless you and make you a blessing. It's selfish to say that, oh, I got enough. We don't need anymore, so I don't need to believe God for anymore. God wants you to believe so you can be a blessing to others. People in Ukraine today, my home country, where I was born, they're displaced. Millions of people are displaced from their homes. They don't have food. And you know what? If we only had people who could be a blessing to people, hopefully it's a temporary thing. It's not going to be, forever, but hopefully it's a temporary thing. Man, I wish we became a church like that. We didn't think about what I can get and how much more richer I can get, but we could think, how can I be a blessing to more people? That's the heart of God. That's the heart of God. Number two, about Isaac. Isaac had at least two traumatic experiences in his early childhood. Number one, when he was about 12 years old, his father attempted to kill him in the name of his God. Wow. How do you like them apples? Imagine one day you wake up 12 years old, like nothing happened, and your dad says, son, we're going to go and do a sacrifice on that mountain, Moriah. 3-day walk. And his response was, oh, okay, we've done this before, right? They do it once a year. And I could even imagine this. Isaac thought, man, I remember that first time he saw a little lamb sacrificed. Isaac probably played with that little lamb. Sacrifice is a gruesome thing, right? It's not a fun, pleasant thing, especially if you love animals. I love them too, but not enough to not eat them. So Isaac says, Dad, okay, what do we need? Dad says, well, I got a knife. We need wood. Let's go. So Isaac is walking and thinking to himself, oh, interesting. Dad, we got wood. We got fire. Where's the lamb? And his dad says, the Lord will provide. So they get on top of the mountain, still no lamb. His dad comes to him and says, son, I love you. Takes the rope and does what Isaac have seen, done many times to a lamb. He ties him up. That would be a traumatic experience. Your own dad trying to kill you would be really traumatic. How many of you have been through some traumatic experiences in your life? That would be really traumatic. He ties him up and Isaac doesn't understand. Dad, what are you doing? Imagine what's going through his head, guys. Young guys, 12-year-olds. That's here. Imagine what would go through your head. Dad who you love, dad who you thought loved you, now says God told him to kill you. So now you're like, my dad is crazy. I need to get away. If I can get away from this, I will never serve that God. Have you ever said that? Because maybe of your past experiences and traumas in your life? Where was God when this happened to me? Where was God when my family got divorced? Where was God when my dad left? Where was God when I was abused? Where was God? And if I can get away from this, I'll never serve that God ever again. Isaac is being tied up. And he's dead. Dad, did I do something? You know, children always, when they see problems, they blame themselves, right? Children cannot process a traumatic experience, so they choose to blame themselves for it. Is there something wrong with me? God, did I do something? Why are you sacrificing me? Why isn't the lamb not enough? Well, Isaac is a typography. It's a prophetic view of Jesus Christ, because God couldn't ask you to do something that he wouldn't do himself 10 times, 100 times worse. Isaac is a typography of Jesus because Isaac's birth was announced by an angel. So was Jesus' birth announced by an angel. Isaac's birth was miraculous. 90-year-old woman gave birth to a baby. Mary, virgin birth, miraculous. Isaac was laid on the altar, except Isaac wasn't killed, because God has prepared his own son who would die on the cross for your and my sin. Thank you, Jesus. It was a hard thing to do for God to lay his son on the cross, beaten, crown of thorns on his head. It was hard. God did kill his son. Why? So you and I could be saved and forgiven. The Bible says, whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. See, God has laws in eternity that he cannot break himself. That law says this. There's a law in eternity, in heaven. It says this. If you sin, you're going to die. That's it. That's just the law. I mean, why do we have laws in our country? Why do we put rapists and murderers in prison? So we can protect people. Yeah, so we can keep a healthy society, right? You don't want anybody coming to your house like that. See, God has laws there too. And he has to abide by his laws. Otherwise, he would be a lawbreaker. And if he's a lawbreaker, then he couldn't be my judge, because he's imperfect himself. That's why God has to be perfect. He's perfectly loving and he's perfectly just. And so he cannot break the law himself. So he says, I got a plan. I got an idea. I will send a perfect lamb, my son Jesus Christ, and he will die for the people who cannot not sin. Back to Isaac, please. Isaac is laid on the altar. Imagine how many thoughts are going through his head. Ladies, imagine if your dad did that. That would be a very traumatic experience. It would affect your life. Next time your dad says, hey, you want to go in the field and plow? Isaac is like, it's okay, Dad. I'll just stay with Mama. I just stay with Mama. Mama knows best. Now you can see why he was such a mama's boy, right? Because it traumatized him for life. You want to go fishing, Isaac? Yeah, I would love to, Dad, but Mama needs help washing dishes. Right? So he was traumatized. Number two trauma that Isaac experienced was that his older brother Ishmael, who was picking on him and laughing at him, was sent away to live in a distant land. And Isaac couldn't shake the feeling that it was because of him. It was his fault. It was his fault. Isaac had a reason to feel guilty, to be feeling responsible for the chaos in his family. Kids, often when parents argue, one time, this moment is stuck in my head. When me and Tanya was arguing, Abby started crying. And she said, it's my fault. And I'm like, oh, shoot. Kids, right, when parents argue, kids somehow believe it's their fault. Isaac, Sarah, Hagar was arguing. There was a strife and debate and constant bickering in their family. Who is going to be the son of the promise? God says Isaac will be, but Ishmael is the oldest. Abraham loves both of them. Ishmael is a mighty man of war. He's a great hunter, right? He's a man's man. Fathers love those kind of kids, right? We love if our men are football players or knock your son out. My son can knock your son out. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But you know what I'm going with this. There was fighting, constant fighting in the family of Abraham. Finally, one day Isaac wakes up. He's still young, impressionable. And the brother that he loved is gone. Where is Ishmael? He loved him. He looked up to him. That was his older brother. And because of him, the servants were like, well, Dad had to kick him out because of you. The servant children was, hey, you know, it's your fault. That will traumatize a person for life. Now you can see why he just stuck around with Mama. He didn't even marry till he was 40. I mean, you can see he was traumatized. I want to flip it on you. Have you been traumatized somewhere in your life? Maybe by a husband, a wife. Maybe by a boyfriend. Maybe by an uncle or your dad or your mom. Maybe you've been traumatized. And most likely you will say something like this: I thought they were Christians. Maybe you were traumatized by another Christian or a church. And so you're saying, God, I'm not going to serve you, because how can I serve a God of those people? How do you deal with trauma? How do you deal with trauma? Do you push it aside? Do you ignore it? No, not necessarily, because a lot of times you'll ignore it, but it'll keep popping out in your life. And it's worse than actually being conscious of it. Because when you're conscious of your problems, at least you can deal with them. But when you're not, they pop out whenever you don't expect. How do you deal with trauma? What makes Isaac a hero of faith is, although he had all that drama in his family, he still chose to believe in the God of his father, Abraham, the Jehovah God. And he chose to make that God his God. Because we see next week, you can't miss it. Next week we'll see what actually happened and how Isaac had a personal relationship with God. How God would appear to him and speak to him and make him promises for the future. So how do you deal with trauma? My advice to you is, don't deny it. Deal with it. Deal with it. Isaac didn't allow his childhood trauma to stop the plans of God in his life. Satan wants to stop the plans of God in your life because of some trauma that you experienced. And I'm sure it was horrible. I've had some things I've experienced. It was so bad that I walked in fear for many years. Walked in fear for many years. And I'm sure you are experiencing. But guess what? I didn't allow those things to keep me down. I trusted God. I trusted God. And you can trust God today, who will take you from that trauma and take you to the great future. Sometimes you can't control what happened to you in the past, but you can make sure it doesn't hold you down in your future. Romans 8:28 says this: and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. See, if you give your mess, if you give your traumas, if you give your pains to God, His hands can fix it. You can't just give your trauma to anybody. Some people will make fun of you for it. Imagine this. Have you ever been in a car wreck? Yeah? Yeah, I've been in a car wreck. You don't just take your car to anybody and say, hey, baker, would you fix my car? You don't take it to a baker or a butcher. He might make you metal chops. Car chops. You take it to a professional who can do the job. So who do we take our trauma to? Who do we take our pain to? Who do we take our failings and shortcomings too? We take it to God. Isaac took it to God, and his life was never the same. Next week we'll know more what happened to Isaac. He took it to God. And if today you make God the Lord of your life, if today you continue to renew maybe the relationship with God, He'll take your mess, He'll take your deadness, He'll take the dead bones of your life, and He'll put skin on it. He'll put muscles on it. And he'll breathe life into some things. Some of you need some things to be breathed life into. And God wants to do it. The Spirit of God is in this place today. We know God is in heaven. Jesus is in heaven. But His Holy Spirit is here today in me and in you. He's moving in this place right now. He's moving in this place. He's resurrecting some dreams. He's killing some things that shouldn't be there. You might have a horrible past, but you don't have to be ashamed of it. You can actually use it as a testimony, because God can turn your test into your testimony. You don't have to say, well, was that you who did that? Yeah, that was me, but look at me now. Look what the Lord has done. That's what you got to do. You got to stop hiding of who you were. You got to say, yes, that's who I was. I was that. I was a jerk. I was a bee. But look at me now. Look at me now. Look what the Lord has done. Genesis 50:20. This is Joseph. Joseph went through some traumatic experience, being thrown in a pit, then a slave, sold a slave, then a prisoner, and then prime minister of Egypt. He's saying to his brothers who threw him in a pit, but as for you, you meant evil against me, But God, say by God. Oh. But God meant it for good. See, God can take your mess and He could turn it into a blessing. He means it for good in order to bring it about as it is this day to save many people. What you meant for evil, what the devil meant for evil, God will turn it around and make it for good and restore you and use that pain to be the strength for other people and help others. Would you believe that kind of a God? Would you surrender your life to that kind of a God? He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. What can separate us from the love of God? Trials, tribulation, death. Paul says, nothing will ever separate you from the love of God. So don't you dare separate yourself from the love of God. Don't you dare say, let devil tell you God doesn't love you. He does. He sent His Son. He loves you so much. So who will you entrust your life to today? Yourself? We're not that good. We're not that strong. We make a mess of things. Who will you entrust your life to? To the world? To some other man? To government? With God. Thank you, Lord. Come on, say God. But God. But God. Stand to your feet. Come on, stand to your feet. Clap your hands and stand to your feet. Because God is moving in this place. But God. Oh, would you close your eyes and bow your head? I want to ask you, do you know Jesus today? Do you still hold your life, or does He hold your life now? Are you in control of your life, or is He? The reason you're here today is not an accident, but God wanted you to hear that He's better in leading your life, being in the driver's seat, than you are, or anybody else. Today He's calling you back to Himself. He's saying, if you give me your life, I will save you. I will forgive you. I'll remove all the guilt of the past that will be gone today. And I will give you great hope and great future. If you heard the voice of the Lord today, you know you have to give your life to Him today. If you like to give your life to Jesus, I'm not going to threaten you and say, well, if you don't, you'll go to hell. If you do, you'll go to heaven. That's later. That's still coming. Although those things are real. But today God wants to change you. He wants to give you a new heart of love and faith. If you want to give your life to Jesus today, let's pray. Say, Jesus, save me. Forgive my sins. Give me a new life. From this day on, I will believe in You. I will trust in You. I will trust my life into Your hands. Use it for Your glory. From this day, I'm saved. My sins are forgiven. The guilt is gone. The shame is gone. And I'm free. I'm new creation. I have a new start today. In Jesus' name, amen.